This is FNX.
Listen to shoot the defense. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Defence on Radio Football and FNX. I'm your host, Stel, and I am very pleased to be joined once again by former Crystal Palace defender, Saji Burton. Saj, welcome back, mate. How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good. All good. What are you doing with yourself right now?
Oh, well, I've just got a few things going on. I mean, I've been doing PT for about 10 years now, but I'm actually trying to get back into football now. So I've just signed up onto a sporting directorship course. A BSI course in Manchester. It's a master's course over 2 years, so I'm kind of steadily trying to work my way back in and kind of see where it goes. My career goes in different directions. Loads of different things going on, as always.
Well, Man United need a sporting director at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
You throwing your hat in the ring?
No, you know what? Actually, I think the first person they mentioned would be great there, actually, Rio Ferdinand, because he's got all the experience. He's got all the kind of knowledge in a financial term. So he's run his own business. He kind of knows how players' minds work. He knows the mentality of Manchester United. I think he'd be fantastic there, to be honest.
Okay, that's a good shout. I mean, I've been a bit apprehensive about that purely because, you know, Rio had a little bit of a, how shall we say, a little meeting with Peter Kenyon when he had his drugs ban, and Peter Kenyon was the chairman at Chelsea at the time, so I'm thinking...
I don't know the story behind that, right?
Is this something that you can repeat on air?
Well, okay. This is the rumour that went round. Basically, he had a STI, and he had to go somewhere to go and get it sorted. That's why he didn't have it.
Oh, okay.
You ever heard that one before?
No, it's the first I've heard of it.
Okay, well, that's the strong rumour that I heard.
Ah, oh, dirty Rio. Dirty God. Rio.
Yeah, hopefully I don't get seized for
that. Well, you use the word...
Allegedly.
There you go. Allegedly. There you go. You use the word rumour prior to saying your statement, so you're
okay,
safe. You're
good.
Safe. Well, look, we're on the subject of United. They're close to signing. Well, it looks like they've signed Wan-Bissaka because we've seen the photographs of him wearing the United shirt. As a former Crystal Palace player, first of all, is this a massive step for the lad?
No, you know what? I think it's a perfect... kind of next step for him. I mean, I've seen him a few times actually live, and I've always been impressed with his ability actually. I mean, he's a pure defender. I mean, that's what you want to start off with, someone who can defend as a right back, and then you can work on his ball work going forward. But he's actually decent on the ball. But I think if you think about it, because I was listening to Steve Nicol talk yesterday, and he said that he thinks that Wan-Bissaka could be the next right-back for Man United for the next 10 years. So if you think about an investment like that, if you're spending 50 million, it's 5 million over the 10 years.
That's
so
right.
At the end of the day, I don't think it's that much money.
It's interesting you say that, because when we signed Luke Shaw for £30 million back about 5 or 6 years ago, however long it was, we were saying, you know, this is a fantastic investment, £3 million over 10 years. But he hasn't progressed as well as we'd like him. I don't know whether it's because of the change in managers. I don't know whether it's because there aren't any senior figures. And this is what I'm getting at with Wan-Bissaka. I did a video for Footy Says yesterday, and I said my main concern is that we don't have any senior central defenders there that he can look up to. Like when we had Rio Ferdinand and Wes Brown and John O'Shea, all the younger players, we had Laurent Blanc there, right? And Laurent Blanc had won the World Cup, he'd won European Cups, everything. But right now, when you look at the players that United have defensively, who is there that Wan-Bissaka can look up to as an infantry figure?
I think you have a really good point there, because when I was at Crystal Palace, I had people like Andy Linegan to work with, Gordon Petridge, who had been experienced, played European games, played for Arsenal, etc., etc. And they told me, they give me little snippets about how they used to work at different clubs, so you used to get good ideas of how their mentality of how they defend. I mean, if you look at Man United, you've got like Smalling, Phil Jones. I mean, there's not really anyone to work off from. Rocco, who I don't really think is a good defender anyway.
Mm.
So I think they need to probably get someone, maybe really experienced, maybe someone like the guy from Juventus.
Chiellini or Bonucci?
Yeah, I think someone to learn, someone like that would be fantastic to learn off.
I mean, that's a good shout. And see, the thing is, right, when you look at the manager as well, obviously Solskjaer is going to play a more expansive style of football, whereas Roy Hodgson is more conservative in his approach. Do you think that's going to make a big difference? Because I personally believe that Hodgson has had a massive influence in Wan-Bissaka's development.
I mean, because before Wan-Bissaka, they had the other right back. God, I'm getting older now.
Isn't it Kelly? Wasn't Kelly their right back?
No, not Kelly. It was... they bought him from Portsmouth, I think.
Oh,
anyway,
blimey.
So, but he took over when he got suspended. So he played 4 games and he actually won Player of the Month for Crystal Palace. And they were so impressed. Well, you thought they would have been so impressed, but then they brought him back for experience.
Right.
But I think Wan-Bissaka could go on and do really well. I mean, I've seen him off the pitch as well. And he's pretty laid back. He's very quiet. He doesn't seem like he's big-headed. Doesn't seem like many things faze him. So I think he's got the right mentality to be a big massive club like Manchester United.
Mm.
I mean, when I saw him play for Crystal Palace, I wanted Arsenal to actually buy him after a few games because I think he had so much more potential and actually at that time was a million times better than Bellerin.
Mm. Well, see, the thing is, I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, Wan-Bissaka is very quick, and obviously that helps when he makes a mistake in terms of a recovery speed, but he's actually better defensively than a lot of people make him out to be.
No, but, you can be quick. I mean, I think that's the problem with a lot of quick players. Basically, they rely on their pace to get them out of trouble, but his positioning is decent as well, because I, as a defender, I actually kind of look out for that stuff as well. So, I mean, if you look at Man City right back.
Oh, Kyle Walker.
Kyle Walker. His positioning is absolutely awful. But normally his speed can get him out of trouble. But his position is so really, really bad. Really, really bad.
Mm.
But his Wan-Bissaka's position is so much better. And I think maybe that's probably the influence of Ray Lewison at Crystal Palace, who was there when I was a player who's kind of very... He's very detailed with his defending, and he likes and that, you know, he's worked from a solid base.
Mm. So, what do you know about Wan-Bissaka's attitude in terms of his, you know, off the field exploits, so to speak? Because I know a lot of United players at this moment in time are kind of winding up fans in terms of their social media presence. Do you think the lad's head screws on?
Yeah, I mean, because last time I went to Palace, we had a reunion there with all the old players, and they actually came out when I was talking to Clinton Morrison.
Okay.
And he just seemed laid back. He had his medal, man of the match medal, and he just went off with his mates. He doesn't seem to be, like, fazed by, you know, going out clubbing with all footballers and blah. He just went out with normal people, you know, left the ground with normal friends that he's probably had from a long time ago.
Mm.
So I was quite impressed by that, because when you're playing in the Premiership and you're getting that much publicity, it can all go to your head, and you can start hanging out with the wrong people, doing the wrong things. But he seems very, very level-headed and seems to have the right mentality to, as I said, play for a massive club like Manchester United.
Mm. Well, I know that United obviously signed Daniel James, who will be playing on the right-hand side. If you look at United on the left-hand side, you've got Luke Shaw and Anthony Martial. It seems to me that Solskjaer will be relying a lot on width next season. What do you reckon?
I mean, I don't watch much of Manchester United. I think it's a great thing. I have an ex-players there. You can explain what the club's about, what the ethos is about, how much it means to... what it means to play for a fantastic club like that. And I think Manchester United have gone the right way of approaching this, employing ex-players and explaining exactly what it means to put on a shirt as prestigious as Manchester United.
Fair enough. Well, look, one more thing before I let you go. I know you're an Arsenal fan, and obviously you're at Crystal Palace. What do you make of the rumour about Wilf Zaha possibly joining Arsenal?
Mate, listen, I think Wilf Zaha is one of the best players in the Premiership.
Okay.
Hands down. I've watched him play, and he's unbelievable. He'd make any fans ecstatic by having them in the team. I mean, the thing that what happened at Manchester United, I think it was just the wrong manager at the wrong time, and then being young as well, he probably got his head down as well. But if Wilf Hazard was come to Manchester United, I think he'd have the same effect as Ian Wright did when he came to Crystal Palace. I think he'd be a legend in that status.
Well, see, this is it. I mean, I know that there's a 25% sell-on clause. So if Zaha leaves Palace, United will get 25% of that. Do you think that's probably one of the reasons why no one has really come in for him?
No, it's probably because Palace don't want to sell their best player.
Mm. Okay.
To be honest, because when he's out the team, they start dropping down the league. When he's in the team, this is when they start scoring goals. Because as I said, they start from a solid foundation, and then they let Wolf go and do his magic and create and score goals.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, mate, well, look, it's been great talking to you. Always a pleasure, mate, always a pleasure. I know that you've got a lot of stuff on today, so I'm going to leave you be. But before I let you go, tell our listeners your Twitter handle, because I know you don't use it that often, but it would be good for them to get in touch with you.
Saji_B.
Excellent. And we'll do this again sometime soon, mate.
Yeah, anytime, mate.
Nice one. Great stuff. Cheers, mate. Thank you very much. Look, you have a good day, and I'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Cheers,
Saj. Cheers, mate. Take care.
Bye.